initiate countdown. Execute.
Do not touch your dial. We are in charge of this transmission.
Hello and welcome.
Brute Squad. Brute Squad. Only on Jackalope Radio.
Green salutations, and once again, welcome to the Brute Squad.
Brute Squad!
Got my partner in crime, Todd.
That's me.
That's you, yeah. And my other partner in crime.
I was waiting to hear Batman after tonight.
It's over, dude. Let it go.
It's not over. It's never over.
I saw credit. It's done.
It's never over. Okay.
Paul, how you doing, man?
You know, I'm here. I don't know what to think.
That's because you've been up for 36 straight hours.
That could have
your mind's twisting
on it, but yeah, I don't know. How are you guys?
It's a mix of several things. Just don't be a comic book guy.
Easy.
Don't do it.
I have to be.
Don't do it.
I have been for 2 decades.
I know, but
leave me alone.
We got to be above and beyond all that.
Don't be a comic book guy.
Well, and what I mean by that
on
is
on the comic book show. Let's
be old school comic book guys.
But okay,
back when we used to love things.
Back I love things loved, now.
I don't remember that far back.
Back when we loved comics and cartoons and Super Friends.
Before, I still do.
Before cynicism kind of crept in.
Yeah, and before the comic book guy became a bad term with people who create art.
Right. Oh.
Yes.
Yes, I remember.
But you know what?
Days.
We did say that we were going to talk about Batman. And
well, what I was referring to is because I got called Batman so many times tonight that when I got called my real name for once, I kind of didn't know to answer.
Can I have a picture?
I know. Batman. But you have to
Can admit, I have a picture?
The kids were awesome. All those kids running up and stuff. That was cool, man.
It's true. It was good to see.
You're my hero.
Now, I did tell Amanda before the movie started that I thought I was going to have to take out a couple of guys that were ahead of us. They were taking bets. They were actually betting each other money on how far they could get and how fast they could get up to punch you in the gut or to, you know, to take Batman down. And I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, well, the way I feel about it is I dared him to try.
Right. You know what? That'd have been a ksh.
Right.
Let's open up a can, a whoop a ass.
It would have been one of those things where people went down like a DC-10. But right. You don't have to worry about that. I got the armor on. They're not going to hurt me, so let them bring it.
They'd have went down like still. ABC on Time Warner.
Yeah. It's a terrible situation. Nice. Terrible. So, man, let's talk about The Dark Knight Rises, the seminal film of the summer.
The way they had Alfred kill Commissioner Gordon, I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't believe Alfred snapped like that and became the ventriloquist.
Oh, exactly. And Catwoman taking off the mask.
Are we really
and truly being Poison Ivy?
Yeah, as you can tell, we're not going to give you even a single spoiler about this movie, even though we do sometimes spoil, not really on purpose, we just try to talk about
movies.
Oh, no,
we do it on purpose.
The
rest of us don't. We try not to, but yeah, in this case.
Did you like that they added Birds of Prey?
Get a job at a sideshow. And if you liked that,
it's called Brute Squad Radio. That's the name of our sideshow.
Damn right.
I mean, I just
hey, you haven't even like a, you haven't even you know,
introduced
our guest.
I was letting Paul introduce Paul. Because for me, it's like Paul. You know what? It's great because I said, and we have Paul.
And I
Who did I forget?
Paul.
Maybe I was talking to the both. They're sharing the names tonight.
With us tonight, for one night only, is my friend Paul.
Hello, I'm Paul.
Hey, Paul.
Paul.
Hey, guys.
Yes, the dueling Pauls are in the booth. So
great, but tag team. That's what we need.
Hey, two people can be a team. You just admitted it. Look at that.
Yeah. Hey.
See?
Only in wrestling. Only in wrestling.
Okay. What's your favorite creative team?
Let's see. I don't know. I don't. I really. I do not know.
Right.
Because I have to throw the Tracer in.
Well,
and the colorist.
Don't have to, but you will just to be spiteful.
Now you know what I am. Let's talk. We're not going to spoil the Dark Knight for everyone, but I want to talk generally about the Dark Knight. Just generally, right. I got to tell you, it for anybody out there, it was epic. The one thing I think I liked the best, and to me, it seemed very light on CGI.
Oh, none. Yeah, I mean, you said that they only use it when absolutely must.
Yeah, and I loved that. I mean, the scene in the beginning where they have, and I'm only saying this because it's in the trailer. I mean, when they have the scene with the whole Bane and the plane, and you seen in the trailer. I mean, seeing the long version of it in the movie was awesome because it wasn't CGI. You can see the wind moving these guys. I mean, to me, it really brought realism to the movie.
Yeah, that was a great way to open up the film.
It was.
I think what I loved about it was the fact that everyone's been given, just like they did with Heath Ledger, everyone's been giving Anne Hathaway such a hard time. And to me, just like you said, Johnny, you could have watched her for 6 hours. I think she was the surprise winner in the
sweepstakes
because you already knew that the other people
were
so good.
She was good. She played what I liked is she played a very smart, calculating Catwoman.
Yeah, intelligent, and she knew her stuff. And I really, really liked how she portrayed it.
I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I had very low expectations because I'm not a big fan of her work. But this, I mean, she did a good job. She did an admirable job in this movie. So, I don't know. I went on my Facebook page.
You're having difficulties with this already, aren't you?
I am. You know, I went on my Facebook page and I just put one word, and that's stunned, because I still don't know how I feel about the movie. Overall, I mean, was it good? Yes. Did it live up to the previous movie?
No.
In my mind, I don't think so.
Not even the contest.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think time will tell.
I like some of the surprises they had.
Yes, yes.
What I do like, I think, was the greatest aspect of this movie is that they took a lot of the aspects from the first two Batmans, and they revisit them.
Right.
They really tried to make this movie a full circle movie. They try to, you know, bring in little things from the first one, little things from the second one, to really tie them all together that, you know, this was one epic story.
Right.
To the point that you could almost watch them, which we will tomorrow night, you know, all in a row.
Right.
I mean, I'm still not quite sure. The only thing that we really can't give the spoilers, but
let's refrain from the spoilers. But and
I know, but there's a few things, you know, we're really going to have to talk about next week.
Right.
We're really going to go in more detail.
My
next
thing
week.
Is, look, for me personally, for once, there's a few things in there that are here and there different than what I expected.
Right.
So let me tell you, for once, I was so, just like with The Last Dark Knight, I was so pulled in. I don't want to dissect this work of art. It was such an incredible work of art, and I don't want to do that personally. So, I probably won't. I probably won't get involved in that conversation. All I can say is, personally, it was everything I hoped it would be and more, because the epic scale of the film took me by surprise. I didn't realize it was going to be that epic on that big of a scale. I didn't realize that it was going to literally shatter the earth. And I felt like that was really pretty neat. I was surprised as hell by Tom Hardy. I liked him.
You know what? I got to tell you, I'm with you. That was the one that I did not want. And I got to tell you, the way they filmed him, he was big and menacing.
He didn't look evil.
I mean, every scene they shot, they did very well to make him look the big menacing Bane.
Right.
With big menacing veins.
Yeah, but I mean, really, yeah. Well, got flashbacks of Batman and Robin.
that's the thing I absolutely loved about it was because
oh, he was great.
There was so much emotional attachment to each character. They did such a good job of really and originally when we came out, that was one of your thoughts was, hey, you know, it seems like we didn't see as much of Bruce and Batman and this and that, but you know, upon reflection, when I think back to the way the scenes as a filmmaker and I think back to the way the script was laid out with the scenes,
right,
I kind of think Bruce was in pretty much 70% of the scenes in this movie, but there were scenes where you learned about other characters too, and that I felt was very important. They were a little light on Selina's best friend.
Right.
And that's only because I think, honestly, at the running time they had, I'm sure...
Because
and I remember the original running time was another 30 minutes or so longer or whatever. So
can't wait for the DVD.
Yeah, I'd be all over that. But again, who knows, though, because Nolan never releases the old stuff. Just like on the Blu-ray, I was like, maybe now we'll get... Because we know they shot extra stuff with Heath Ledger.
Right.
We saw the pictures from the shoot. We've seen the script that had the extra scenes in there that he shot, but they've never released them. So,
but see, maybe they're saving it for like a release of all three.
Right.
Now that he's done.
Christopher Nolan's of the mind, from what I understand, that he doesn't want to release anything that's been excised.
Right. Well, he's not Lucas. I mean,
he's a perfectionist.
His final film is his final film.
Right. He's a perfectionist. Right. He wants this is the vision I wanted.
Right.
Apparently, this edit was like the third pass that they were trying to kind of organize things differently and move things around. So it's kind of neat that in this day and age they're able to do that because of the digital, you know. And I have to say the IMAX cinematography was just spot on, breathtaking, man. I mean, it was...
I love the city scenes. Oh, they did a lot of like overpasses of the... I mean, they drew... Yeah. I think that's the whole point, really. Instead of Dark Knight Rises, I got to tell you, if I was in charge of this movie, I probably would have just called it Gotham, because because going back to like all the different characters, a lot of the police officers and a lot of different things they showed, they almost made it more of a movie about Gotham
than
Batman.
That was the main focal point of
It really was. I mean, to me, it wasn't so much Dark Knight Rises as it was, you know, Gotham Rises.
And you can say that, but then on the other hand, it was so focused on Bruce Wayne and Batman and his story and his final...
Well,
his final triumph.
It's the final act.
Right.
It's the final. But, I mean, to me, I really got more of the epic feel of this is a Gotham story.
And
I really
got that.
Did.
Part of me got that. And part of me got how focused it was. And it really got inside Bruce's head better, I think, than some of the other two. This one got really in there. I mean, Bale has improved tenfold. And he's already an amazing actor. And I thought he improved as Bruce Wayne. He was already great, but I think he really improved.
He did. I will say, as Bruce Wayne, I agree with you, and I noticed that he lost some of his accent. Because in the other movies, he talked a lot more in this one, and to me, he was a lot clearer to understand when he was... Because, I mean, heck...
And a little bit of the gruffness was even gone when he was Batman.
Was.
Did you notice that?
Absolutely.
He had some, but to me, he really... The voice was there on this one. I don't know if he's, you know, just been working on the accent or what, but...
Well, and he came up with a new, kind of a in-between voice. Not really quite too gruff and not Bruce Wayne. It was kind of almost a whisperish.
Which was, like, perfect.
It worked,
I mean, to me, I really liked it in this one.
Yeah, I did, too. It wasn't so... And you know, when he finally goes off in spots, it makes it that much better. Because before, if you're growling the whole time, it's like you're at 10 the whole time.
No impact, right.
Yeah.
But in this one, he was like more like at 6, and then all of a sudden when he hit 10, you're like, bam!
I got to tell you, the one thing I was most surprised by out of the whole entire movie, and you'll see when everybody's going to go see this, but you're seeing the background characters.
Yeah.
You know, because there's certain, you know, armed forces, special agents, police officers, all these certain, like, backdrop characters. And almost everyone is a face. I mean, you're sitting there going, oh, that's a dude from Stargate. Oh, that's a dude from, you know, this movie. I'm not going to give their names because I don't want it to spoil it. But it's like there's these actors that you've been seeing in the genre that you can say, hey, I want to be a part of this.
Yeah, and they were. Yeah.
And they were. I mean, and that was surprising because I was like, wow, look at it was kind of a who's who.
You just
of Hollywood.
Hit on something, though, I think. Paul, I think you're going to come in with this one on me, with me on this. The one thing you really hit on here was the fact that this is why I think Batman is the greatest superhero of all time. Not only does he have the greatest rogues gallery ever, Granted. But his story is populated with background people that you really want to know about. And this movie actually does that. Whereas in Superman, you don't really care much. Right. Lois, maybe. Little Jimmy, maybe. No one else. But, you don't care about Perry
Wright.
You
don't even care about them as much.
Not much.
I mean, honestly, I got to tell you, I almost wanted to see a little bit more of Gordon.
Yeah, he was a little lighter this time. Well, he was in the hospital.
But he was, but he wasn't. He wasn't, right. You know what I mean? Because towards the end, he did some action stuff and all.
But overall, yeah, I would have liked to see a little more Gordon. I would have liked to see that storyline kind of be a little stronger towards the end. But
I mean, Gary Oldman is Gordon. I mean, well, to me, that was like the best casting of the whole movie.
It was.
It's always been, and Michael Caine, the two of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because because I loved the butler in the Keaton movies.
Yeah.
Michael Goh.
Oh, Michael, he's great. Yeah, he was great.
But comparatively, there's no comparison at all. And one of the things I loved about this movie, and I heard several people saying it around us, as the credits rolled at the end and everyone was applauding, that's how to make a superhero movie. Because even in comparison to every other superhero movie we've seen, it's like a different scale. I mean, I watched The Avengers again recently and I loved it.
Right.
And I found things that surprised me about it. I also felt areas were kind of slow in it. But it's more like a popcorn summer movie. It's over here. And then this movie's like Shakespeare. We've talked about that on this show before. But it really kind of reminded me of that even more tonight, right. Where I'm just after seeing The Avengers watching this again and Spider-Man a couple weeks ago. Then all of a sudden it's like, wow, there really is a difference. It's like those are good movies and all, but this is something. This is above all that. Different.
It's the caliber of acting. Because, I mean, bang.
Cinematography, maybe?
I mean, the thing with, it's really about the acting because, like, Bane,
it is,
he's got that mask all over his mouth through the whole entire movie.
Right.
And, I mean, just how he could project with his eyes.
And his body.
I mean,
language,
he could sit there and, you know, some people are going to like the voice, some people aren't. But, I mean, but as far as acting, he was menacing. You did get a fear from this guy.
Oh, he was evil.
But you got to me, it was very Hannibal Lecter. It was that evil, quiet evil, and cunning.
Right.
And I mean, really, to me, he was like a Hannibal Lecter.
I don't know if to me, he was maybe a little of that, but then also, on the other hand, he was a little Joker, because you had the Hannibal Lecter side, the intelligent guy, the kind of percolating guy, then you had the Joker guy that just wanted to watch the world burn. It was kind of like, and I know why, he was on a mission and all.
True.
But it was really weird. I mean, he wasn't maniacal and funny like the Joker, but it was...
Right.
He was insane like the Joker,
he was a psychopath. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was driven to be a psychopath by his belief system, which is kind of scary when you look at the analogy of that. Yeah.
He was a zealot. I mean, really.
And in this post 9/11 world, that really does ring true, because there are people out there like that. So that was pretty believable. Yeah. Yeah. And I got to say that considering that Bane was one of my least favorite characters of all time in the comics, I sure liked him.
I did like him in this.
I didn't want to, but I did. I was pissed off when they made Bane the new villain. I was like, come on, dudes, because I was pulling for Scarface. At one time, he was thrown on the table because he could be a realistic guy, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You know, and that would have been because I think the ultimate decision was when Jonathan Nolan and David Goyer talk about it, they were saying that, well, we had it on the table, then we realized the only way to do this guy right, it's going to be an R-rated movie, you know? So they kind of pulled him back off the table because he makes the Joker look tame. He's absolutely...
Well,
he
can, yeah.
The one thing I have to say about after watching the movie, this epic of a movie would not have worked with anybody but Bane.
I think it's pretty true.
I mean, because honestly, especially for the comic fans, you read the book, you know Bane is a badass, you know that he broke Batman's back.
You never know he's
this
cool.
You already got in your mind, if you're a comic fan, that Bane's like the ultimate yin and yang to Batman.
Right.
Well, in some ways, I guess, physically, maybe.
I mean, you could sit there and say Joker, but let's get real. Batman,
Joker, to me, is the yin and yang, and Harvey.
Well, this is why.
Harvey's yin and yang in the same body.
Exactly.
Yeah, granted.
Exactly.
But, the reason I say this is Batman always beats the Joker. Batman always gets the Joker, takes him in. He always gets him in. Bane was the true time that...
Broke the bat. Yeah.
He broke the bat. I mean, Bane is the only person that straight up... He won.
Yeah.
He won. Batman came back, but he won that war.
Right.
You know, Joker usually doesn't win the wars.
He just fights to
Yeah, I mean, to him, it's kind of like it's comedy relief to the Joker, you know? But, I mean, and that's why I think Bane was a perfect choice after watching this movie.
Well, considering the
epic
scale.
The scale, the whole concept about it. I mean,
it felt like a throwback to the 70s in a way with all the disaster epics that they were doing, like, with Earthquake and all Airplane and all those kind of disaster movies. Had a little bit of that vibe going on in there.
Right.
Because, I mean, I can't think of a disaster that would hit on as big a scale. I mean, this thing was pretty heavy duty. I mean, it was, wow. It was just that.
It was
kind
like,
of,
yeah. It was like
without giving too much away. It was a. I mean, you see that in the commercials. You're seeing the bridges explode, and you're seeing stuff happen. It is. It's kind of.
And
like,
it didn't look CGI. I mean, it didn't.
Oh, no.
I mean, I can say I like Spider-Man.
Well, a lot of that
surprisingly.
Was models too. Remember in the first one they did models.
Oh yeah.
Because everyone thought the Batmobile stuff was all CGI, and it was actually
models.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, give me a break. You can hold up anybody with any common sense. I'm sorry. You hold up Yoda from the first Star Wars movies, and you look at that puppet. I mean, yeah, it's a puppet, but you look at that puppet, that Yoda, and you look at the CGI Yoda. I mean, there's no comparison. I'd rather watch that puppet all day long.
The only time I thought the CGI was acceptable and cool is when he was flipping around like a maniac fighting.
Well, yeah, you can't, Frank Oz can't do that, but yeah, I'm just talking about, I mean, and that's my example. I mean, so often when you look at a car explosion and you look at it with a CGI,
you
can't fake it. You know it. As good as it's getting, there's nothing like a real car blowing up.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And, I mean, this movie captured that, and I think that's what made it feel so real.
Right.
I agree with you. And
it
overall,
definitely was epic.
Well,
I thought it tried to be epic, though. I was very much aware that it was trying to be epic.
But everybody knew that going in, though.
Yeah, but I guess I don't agree with what you guys are gushing all over the movie. I'm not there with you. It just didn't quite.
They didn't make it for you.
Mark for me.
You know what? I would like to have known. I mean, you'll probably never know. I'm real curious to that. What would have been? What would have been if Heath Ledger survived?
Oh yeah.
Because they said that he was going to be in the third one. If he survived, that's why it took so long really for him to jump onto this one, because they already had it all, a game plan with Heath.
Right.
Which is why Aaron Eckhart, every time they turned around, he kept saying,
"No, you're dead.
I know we're best friends, and I know we're on vacation together, but you're dead. You're not coming back."
Well, there was talk, because they left that a little bit up to the viewer, that maybe Harvey wasn't dead. I mean, there was, you really couldn't tell there for a minute.
Right.
If he was dead, if he wasn't dead.
But he'd always been saying in all the interviews that he wasn't bringing Harvey back.
Right.
That Harvey's dead. And to me, though, I don't want to get too much into that. Right. It's just the point of, I'm real curious to what he had in mind for the third one with Heath.
There might have been a thing with the Joker, and maybe Catwoman was still going to be in there, because I've heard Catwoman's name bandied about for years.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely think she was a plan.
Well, they even talked to her somewhat about having her in the second one.
Right.
But they didn't want to go with three villains.
Well, they were probably trying to figure out a way to bring her in with Bane still and still make it work. So I liked how, you know, they did it. I'm not going to give it away, but I do like how they ended up connecting that. Because I was wondering that myself. How the heck are they going to make that work? I can kind of see where she would have been the main villain in the third one. If Heath was still alive, then maybe he would have come in
at the end,
toward the end, and
because
he would have busted out or something. And then they would have had to team up and join forces to get him back in there or whatever. That would make some sense. But, yeah, once he was gone, and I tell you what, it's so sad that he's gone, because not only was he great in The Dark Knight,
he's great in everything he did.
He was a good actor. Yeah, I would like to have seen where his whole career would have ended up. And I understand. Now, see, I don't agree with you about the – I didn't think they tried so hard to make it epic. I think that's just the way Chris makes movies. If you saw Inception, it was epic. Okay. I mean, he's just become – that's what – he wants to push himself as an artist on each film.
True.
And he wants to push what he can get on screen.
But he knew, but
he's going.
But you know, he, come on, going into it, the third one.
Well, he said he wouldn't do it unless he could destroy Gotham, basically, and he did. So.
And he knew, though, going into this, that this was going to be the last Batman he was going
to
do.
And he wanted to make it the
biggest.
He
wanted to make the biggest Batman he could. I mean, he did pretty well.
You think? I don't know anyone else that could have done better. I really don't. I don't see anyone. I mean, from a technical standpoint, the film was flawless. The one thing we always agreed on for Dark Knight was the fight scenes were shot too close up, and they weren't very. You didn't even know who was getting hit half the time. In this one, they finally learned how to shoot a fight scene.
Yeah.
You could tell what was happening. It was kind of nice. Maybe they went and got a couple of martial arts guys, like I've always suggested. Please, I would write letters. Please get Corey Wynn or somebody in there and
get somebody
stage a fight. He actually did some kicking. I was always disappointed because I'm like, dude studied martial arts all of his life and never landed a kick. So then this one, he was kicking, he was flipping stuff around, and it was like, wow, this is cool. So yeah, I was real happy with that. I was real pleased with the fight scenes. They were vicious and fast, and it was just really cool. You got to see Batman take down like all kinds of dudes.
Right.
And I never got to really get that feeling from the other two.
I think what I liked about it is when he was taking people down, besides, you know, the fight with Bane, it looked like he wasn't even trying to take some of these guys down. You know,
like, wham, wham,
you
wham.
Could tell he had that, you know. I studied with the League of Assassins.
Right.
I'm just a ninja.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah, because in that Batman Begins, he would swoop down, flash.
Right.
Someone's laying on the ground. What happened? In this one, you kind of almost felt Rocky a couple times.
Yeah.
You were like, hit him, get up.
Right.
You know, you're feeling that. Adrian! I was like, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I did too, because there's a lot of times I was like, wow. He's getting his ass kicked.
He was kicking some ass.
Oh,
and that's
absolutely.
That's what made a good hero. I wish that they would do that with Superman, you know, because Superman, I've always felt like in the movies, and I loved the first Superman, and I loved the second one. Second one at least had some fisticuffs. That was cool. But none of the rest of them kind of had a cool fight scene with Superman, like in the animated series, and you always want to see that, you know.
Well, the second one did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The second one, with those three guys, there was some fisticuffs. Right. But
The third one, the only best scene in the whole thing was when he fought himself.
The best scene in the third one was when the credits rolled at the end.
No, I'm being serious. When they had the dark Superman, that wasn't too bad because I got to see him like try to, you know, fight. Yeah, everything else of that movie should have been destroyed.
I like the second one, though, with the three beings. Those were cool. Yeah. Those three guys from the other dimension. They were locked in the little dimensional.
It was Zod and Non and Ursa.
Yeah, that was cool. I liked the fight.
Was it Terrence Stamp?
Yes.
As General Zod is freaking brilliant.
I love
that guy.
I liked when they were fighting with it, and they used objects like buses.
Yeah, exactly, like they would.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Well, it was kind of cool where they got to see Christopher Reeve like get thrown in a bus.
Right.
And I was like, hey, look, that metal's like moving.
Well, yeah, and I liked that he actually got scratches on him and stuff. That was kind of cool, instead of just like unscathed. But you remember, I always loved George Reeves. I have a soft spot for George Reeves. That was my first introduction to a live-action Superman when I was a little kid in reruns.
Yeah.
But, man, he never did anything cool. He like bent a couple of gun barrels and like shoved a guy.
Well, he always ran into a wall.
Yeah, he ran through walls like
styrofoam
walls every 5 seconds. The whole wall would shake, but I always missed the fact that, come on, man, Superman could just like, why is every episode they're fighting gangsters that have kidnapped Lois Lane?
Right.
He'd just go in there with his heat ray vision. He'd say, I see these guys. I'll melt their
guns.
Give
them a hot foot. We're done.
Punch him in the face and knock him through a few walls. I mean, we never got any cool punches. I love the animated series for that, though. Justice League, he's beating the hell out of everybody.
Well, I think that's the big thing that people were disappointed in with the Superman Returns. I know we're kind of going off, you know, but I mean, you got to see a reboot of Superman. We have all the technology, and I got to tell you, seeing the way he used his powers was great.
The flying scenes were great.
The flying, the picking up the stuff. I mean, the heat vision, you know, when he was flying backwards. I mean, all that was great, but when it came down to it,
you never
got to see him kick anybody's ass.
No. I mean, Lex, I guess, was the villain, but he was so...
Really?
He wasn't really a villain to me. I mean, he was bad, but... I mean,
but it's
he's
not
just
somebody,
a human.
But it's not somebody Superman's going to go toe-to-toe with.
No, and all he did was like pick up a rock and fly it out into space. That was the big finale. I was like, really?
And I don't really want to get into that one because, honestly, we could rip that one apart all
day
long.
I'm not going to be mean to it just because part of it, I hated Lois Lane, but I really liked
Brandon Routh.
I did, too.
I thought he was great.
He was channeling Christopher really well.
Dude, he would have been... If they ever do a movie like The Life of Christopher Reeve, he's got a plane.
Yeah, he was good. He was good.
I just wish he hadn't channeled Christopher Reeve.
Right.
I
make fun of that.
Well, I wish they wouldn't have actually reshot Superman. Because half his lines were lines from the first one.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I get that you're wanting to show that it's continuation from that.
But
there comes to a point of, okay, let's see Brandon be Superman.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the only thing I think I was disappointed about tonight.
The whole thing about the kid. I'm still on Superman.
I
never got over the Superboy thing. Scary kid.
Well, I love that they made Superman a deadbeat dad.
With bad hair. That kid could have been a mop.
Right.
You could have picked him upside down and cleaned the kitchen floor.
But no, that's what I was upset about. I wanted to see the Superman trailer tonight. I'm curious.
It's going to be tomorrow night. You'll see it.
Okay.
I'm curious. I mean, because I see the pictures and I'm like, I don't know. The problem I have is they're making it darker, and I don't think Superman needs to be darker. That was the whole point. He's the opposite of Batman.
I heard it's not really darker. It's just realistic is the word they're using.
Yeah.
Really? He's almost wearing a black costume.
Well, that's because they're trying to make it look real, I guess.
Really? Because we don't have light colors out here?
Well, I guess they didn't want
to. I mean, really? Does every world have to be dark and gloomy and rainy? Yes. It's not all the freaking Crow. I mean.
Well, I would wait till you see the movie. I don't think it's going to be like that.
Well, I'm just saying, they always say, every time they talk real, they always go, well, we got to make everything darker. Superman could still be bright, light, you know, and...
I think it'll surprise you. I just think you've seen a couple of pictures that were darker, but I think when you see the movie, it's not going to be that way.
I'm hoping not.
I got a feeling on it.
Because, like, Spider-Man, we can talk, you know, about what we like or don't like about it, but...
Right.
And I wasn't happiest with the costume. But at least they kept it the bright, you know, red and blue.
Yep.
You know, when he was swinging through New York at the end of it.
It looked awesome.
And it looked awesome on the IMAX, and he's all red and blue. I mean, I loved his red and blue sneakers, but.
Yeah. I loved his jogging shorts. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know what? I still gave it maybe a 6 or 7 tops out of a 10, but I gave it 6 mainly because I felt like there was this great chemistry with the actors in the movie and Spider-Man, and I thought, you know, they tried something different. I gave it some stars out of that, but really, I guess I deducted some stars just because I got irritated with the retreads of Tobey Maguire.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I want to say something here. I want to thank Hollywood right now, because I got to tell you, we can sit there and butcherize these movies all we want, but you know what? We didn't get all these growing up. I mean, think about it. This summer, we got to see Avengers, Spider-Man.
But you're thinking the same.
And Batman.
I have to draw back one thing. I can't thank them for the Spider-Man reboot only because I'm still at odds with why they fired Raimi and all those guys.
Well, I know.
But kept the writers of Part 3 to write the new one. And Part 3 sucked.
And you know what? That's a whole conversation.
I know.
I'm just talking about as the far of how cool is it that we get to see our childhood heroes on the big screen.
Captain America's movie.
I mean, we can rip Spider-Man and the reboot, but I'm just talking about the idea that Hollywood is putting out some movies that we wanted to see as kids.
Oh, yeah.
And never thought we would.
Right. The Iron
Man movies. Well, they can actually do it now.
Well, they could have somewhat done some of it.
Special effects.
I mean, Superman 2 was great for the time.
Yes.
It was the writing, because when they did the Captain America movie, the suit wasn't that bad. It was the fact that the writing was so terrible.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right.
And that's why it fell apart.
I mean, think about Captain America. I mean, really, look at Captain America, the movie. That could have been shot 20 years ago.
If the script
Captain
was decent.
America could have.
I mean, it was a great movie. It could have been done 20, 25 years ago.
Is it bad that that's still my favorite of the Marvel movies? I absolutely liked that movie. Absolutely loved it. I liked it better than I did the Avengers for some reason. I liked the Avengers, don't get me wrong. But I thought as a movie going feeling, I felt a lot more, I guess, that feeling of contentment, you know, when you leave the movie theater. I felt that more with Captain America than I did with the Avengers for some reason.
I think Captain America was a more solid movie as a standalone movie, but I think I think Avengers, as far as the popcorn movie, was probably
It was better.
It was better, but as far
see, I liked the first Iron Man.
Oh, I did too.
I thought the first. I mean, to me, Captain America and Iron Man are almost a tie because I fell so much in love with Robert Downey Jr.
I mean, he's great.
Nobody else in that role would have made that movie as good, in my opinion.
I agree.
I mean, I watched it and I was like, oh my God, he's melting down just like Tony Stark. Well, I mean,
he really lived half the character. So
art and imitation life.
Absolutely.
Well, I have to say that, you know, thinking about it, you know, Iron Man is like, for me personally, and I think the reason is because I just loved Captain America growing up, and I always wanted to see him in a movie, and I never thought I would.
Right.
But it's right there with Captain America. I agree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
They're tied for great movies. I think it's just the fact that I like Iron Man, but I always liked Captain America just a little better in the comics.
Right.
So when I got to see him actually enacted that way by a guy that I really didn't want in the part that actually won me over.
Right.
I was like, holy cow, the Human Torch did it, and he's amazing. And the whole epicness of that, you know, how they took the whole storyline of Captain America and they stayed as true as they could while keeping it a little grounded in reality, and they had such a good time with it. And I have to agree with you that I think overall that's probably why it was so satisfying to me. Yeah. You know, the Avengers was cool to look at, but that ending fight scene, that I kept saying, no more fish out of the sky. I was like, ah, this is getting monotonous. It was like wave after wave of those guys, and then the fish things that kept coming down.
I loved it. I did. I got to tell you.
I got to a point where it was a video game, though. It got to that point. I was like, are you going to beat this level?
A little bit towards the very
end, yeah. I think if you cut that down 10 minutes, I'd have been perfect with it.
No, I loved it.
That was the best part of
the movie. To me, I look at it this way. I'm paying $17 for the movie. Give me a 20-minute, 30-minute fight scene. You can make that movie 4 hours, man.
Upon rewatching
it,
I did realize they needed that because there's only two action scenes in the whole movie.
Right.
But you didn't need it. The dialogue was freaking amazing.
I don't know. I got to the point where I was really tired of Scarlett Johansson. I was like, dude, just move the story forward. They stood there talking on the bridge of that ship for hours. Then they finally got to the first action scene where they're taking down the helicraft, and you're like, yeah. And that was breathtaking and awesome, and Iron Man saving the day with the you know, turbine. Right. And then I thought, that's great. Then it was, oh. Then the energy level kind of drops, and you're kind of feeling dialogue, 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 then boom, back to the finale. And I would have almost, instead of having that huge, long-ass 40-minute ending that went on, I would have almost rather seen them break that up a little and add an extra action scene in the middle somewhere, personally, just because I mean, and Johnny, I'm totally respecting your idea that, you know, it's exactly what you wanted, and some people felt that way, but I got to tell you, you know, as I was watching it again, you could feel the fatigue of it, kind of, you could see the people around. I wasn't the only one feeling that, all right, are they going to get to the point, are they going to win this, or is this going to just keep going
during that battle scene?
Yeah, just kept rolling and rolling.
I didn't get that at all.
I didn't either. I loved it
during the helicraft flying thing. That I was like, when is this going to be over? But whenever they were fighting those aliens,
I was eating it up because I wanted to say, I'm sorry, I was such a fan of Hawkeye in that movie.
Right.
Everybody wants to know. I mean, to me, they solved the problem. How does he know what arrow to grab?
That was cool.
You know, I was like that. And I dug it. When those little scenes like that, you know, Captain America throwing Black Widow, you know.
Right.
That was cool.
I mean, to me, all those little things, I wouldn't want any of those little things. I mean,
I don't want any of that cut. I like all that.
That's what I'm saying. You can sit there and say, I want to cut that fight scene, but when you watch
it,
I'm like, I don't know what I want to cut. It was all great.
Finally fighting as a team on the ground against one villain, you know.
Well,
that's why we want to see
it. I mean, the only problem I had with the whole thing, and this is just me, and I'm just being a picky bastard, I'll say it.
Comic book guy.
No, I'm not being a
comic
book
guy.
I just don't think CGI is right where it should be for the Hulk yet. I mean, I liked it, but I mean,
not quite,
I don't think it's quite there
it's
yet. Where
there,
to me,
I
saw an animated Hulk.
Well, CGI isn't there for anything yet.
I mean,
you can always tell it's CGI.
Well, and I have to say that
people,
you know, if we're going to talk about, if we're going to kind of break down that fight scene into sections, the only part that I kind of got, I think the frustration hit me was, they'd taken down that big fish thing, and it was really awesome because it took them so long to take it down, and it was knocking out the building, and I just loved that whole sequence. And it made me breathless. I was like on the edge of my seat for it. It was like a big battle, like Rocky, you know? And then after that, they do it, and then it shows two more coming out. And I'm like, that just pissed me off. I was like, dude, and now we're going to have to do that again?
But that's kind of cool, though, because you're showing, you know, that they're not going to give up no matter what.
Well, I like that part, yeah. But, Jesus, I was frustrated at that
point. I liked it. I thought it was great.
And I really liked it when they finally got Loki, and I laughed so hard at that. That was just great.
Oh, yeah.
I think the things I would have liked to have seen different. I mean, they did. I mean, I got to tell you,
the chemistry
CGI,
was great. Yeah.
Hulk was great for where we're at. I mean, I don't think
Hulk,
he would have gotten
Hulk,
better.
Hulk was better in the Avengers than he was in either of the other two Hulk
Granted.
Movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, head and shoulders above that.
To me, I just didn't like the actor they got.
Well,
I still don't.
I
mean,
think
to
he was
me,
good, though.
No, I think,
he was all
I think
right.
He did.
Was,
I think he did great with what he had to work with.
But
I think,
to me, I like Norton. But if you're not going to get Norton, I'd love to have seen them get the original Banner back.
Yeah.
I mean, because Eric Bana is still a great actor.
Yeah, but God dang it, I don't want to have somebody with daddy issues. I can see why they didn't, because there's no way you could kind of separate it. You'd be like, is this the daddy issue Hulk again? I think
everybody else has daddy issues. Why not the
Hulk? I know, I was going to say, come on. I really wish they would have gone with Stan Winston when he was still alive on that first Hulk, because he had, I mean, you got to admit, if anyone could do it, it was Stan, and he had a Hulk that looked real. It was an animatronic guy. It was a suit that a guy wore, but it looked real.
I've never seen that.
It was amazing. And
have you seen it?
Yeah.
The guy made the Jurassic Park dinosaurs, you know. It was unbelievable, but they...
Stan Wilson?
Winston?
Yeah.
I didn't know he did that.
And that's the thing that kills you when you watch Jurassic Park. Now, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day when it was released and all they talked about was the CGI.
Yeah.
I remember
yeah.
that.
Well, Stan Winston's creations, the CGI got credit for all that. There was only literally, I was working for the studio at the time and we were making fun of it, 75 seconds of CGI in that movie. The rest was just wire removal, right. removing rods, and everything else in there was an animatronic puppet of some kind. Right. Yeah, and that's like, dude, so all we're hearing is, can you believe how real that looked? That's because it was.
Right.
Because nothing's matched it since. I mean, look, we get dinosaurs now that are like, oh, that looks terrible. That last Journey 2 movie. I never even knew there was a Journey 1, I guess.
Yeah.
I was like, is this a sequel to The Band? But no, it was it was The Rock of all things, and that was terrifying. So,
The Rock?
Yeah, well, you know how it is. Old toe pudding head in there.
That's funny.
I'm really curious if we can go back to Batman.
Oh, of course. Go back to Batman.
What if everybody had to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, how would everybody rate it?
I think everyone knows my answer. I don't have to tell you. It's a 10 without question.
10 for Todd.
10 for Todd.
I'm still unsure.
Wait till you see it again. Give yourself a second viewing.
That may be. But
yeah, but what do you think at this moment? What do you give it?
7 or 8. I don't know. It just fell short, and I still don't know what.
Agreed.
What exactly to say it was short of, but it just fell short for me.
So you're at a 7 and 8 as well.
I would say that the first two movies are definitely solid 8s. This one is 7.
I'll say I would have said the last movie I'd have to say 10. Last movie with Heath was a 10 to me.
Yeah,
that's one of my favorite superhero movies.
I guess to me there is no such thing as 10 because that means perfection, and there's no such thing as perfection.
You're right. So. There's always something you complain about.
God damn! What is it about the name Paul?
Yeah,
you got Paul Stanley. Every time he gets on stage, he's got to complain.
Should we give it a 10 also?
Would I give it a 10?
Yeah.
No, I would not. I would probably give it a 9 and a high 9. I mean, because there's certain things, just personally, I would like. I mean, I'm a big in. That's why I like the Avengers. I mean, I was always a Buffy fan. I'm a huge Firefly, you know, fan. I like the banter. I mean, you know, I like talking. Go figure. I have a show. But I mean, I do.
That's what your comic store was opened for, so you could banter. We know this.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, yeah. Do I want to sell comics?
Yeah, but
or do
only
I want
to
talk
to banter?
But if I get to talk to people all day about comics, that's great. You know, I got you know, it's all right. Half you know, the people come to my shop are now my friends. But
as a guy who loves Batman,
but I mean,
in my heart, I think it just fulfilled things I've always. I mean, just like the second one, and just like Batman Begins,
right?
It fulfilled things in my heart that I've never got to see before that I always wanted to, and that was something that I give them.
It was great. I mean, I think it was great. I loved it. I just personally, I would like to have seen a little bit more of like the Batman Catwoman. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more
that'd
of that.
Been all right, yeah.
And well, and for me, you guys got to realize, it's kind of like I didn't think I was going to get to see this movie. Right. I thought I was going to be dead.
Right.
So
that's
the
true.
Fact that I'm late, I'm no longer afraid of being dead, and I actually got to see this movie. I think that also adds something to it because coming from that standpoint, you know. I honestly believed I would at one moment or a few moments actually. I didn't think I was ever going to get to see this movie, and I'd been waiting for it all these years. I had a heart attack.
Oh,
I had quadruple bypass surgery.
That would do it.
Yeah,
wow.
And I thought I was going to die, and I didn't think I was going to get to see it. So for me, not only is it a joyous occasion to see it, but it's rejoicing in the fact that it touched on a lot of things that I personally felt, you know, okay. in my life. So Bruce Wayne, a lot of the things he was feeling.
Right,
I've been there, and I mean, in a real world situation, and it really hit home for me. So I was like, it was amazingly resonant inside of me. You know, I was touched, and I felt like they did it in a way that really is realistic because I felt it and I saw it. You know, when I watched the movie, I was like, holy cow, these guys, they hit something here, something different, and it's not a, it is, but it isn't. I mean, it's not. Exactly a crowd pleaser because they go to some really scary places. But at the same time, it is a crowd pleaser because people are cheering. It makes you want to get up and cheer. It makes you want to scream.
Right.
And
I'm trying to think of what's a good age for kids at this one.
Well, it's like Heath Ledger's probably scarier than anything in this movie, but I would honestly, say
Heath was creepy.
Don't go in there and take some 6-year-old kid in there unless you know that kid's like me and watched horror films or something, you know. Yeah, well, make sure they're prepared for something like that.
So if you want to take your kids to see this at a younger age, just be prepared for them to grow up like Todd. And you'll be...
Hey, which isn't such a bad thing.
11 or 12, I think that'd be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot.
So my 8-year-old, my 8-year-old's going to ask, and I'm going to be like, "No."
Well, maybe not. 8 years old, I don't know. It just depends on the kid.
That one, it really does.
Yeah. Because I would have gone and seen it when I was 8 and been fine with it. You know, because the villains are supposed to be bad. I mean, you're supposed to see them do bad things. It didn't have any vulgarity in it,
and it wasn't bloody. You didn't see blood and guts.
It was just
even
intense.
If the villain does have a kind
see,
of
see, if
like
I saw a lot of blood and guts,
Bond villain voice.
Yeah. If there was blood and guts, it'd probably be a 10. That's what it was lacking for me. I needed blood and guts.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
Instead of wrapping a rope around Batman, they should have used the entrails of that soldier over there.
And Batman should have used a gun through the whole thing.
Yeah, and don't say that, because then they'll start doing that to Captain America. I love the fact that when he came back, he didn't even want a gun. He just used his shield.
Right.
That was awesome.
Yeah, Cap was a soldier, though.
I love the fact that Batman takes the gun away in that one part and throws it. I'm not going to tell anyone where, but he grabs a gun out of someone's hand and just throws it away.
I saw that. That was great.
Yeah. He does it so fast that you almost don't even realize that's what just happened.
Right. Like, now, I'm more excited to watch it again tomorrow night to see what I pick up and don't pick up.
Oh, yeah, me too. Because I was so emotionally wrapped into it that I was losing all the little nuances. So when I go back, I'm going to see all these new little things, you know.
Well, I like to even the mayor. They brought back the original mayor.
Well, yeah.
I mean, they kept... I loved how they... I mean, really, this
buddy.
Whole... It was great. I mean, if they would have kept Katie Holmes in the second movie, it would have been great.
There's a scene missing already, I can tell you, because I saw Christopher Nolan's shots of him filming a scene on the bridge where all the people were putting the bat symbol on the bridge, all down the bridge. Like, it was peppered with those bat symbols made out of chalk.
We saw one where there was one kid.
This was a whole... Chris himself was putting them there. It was a shot of them filming a scene on the bridge like that. I never saw that scene.
But you never will.
I really did like how they dealt with Selena Kyle's ears.
That was cool.
That was cool. Yeah.
Instead of being totally phony.
Yeah.
It was part of her goggles, man. How cool is that?
Okay, is this now your favorite all-time superhero movie at this moment?
Ever?
It is for me. It's tied. Wow. It's tied with The Dark Knight for that. But it improved on The Dark Knight for me in the action areas, because the fight scenes were exactly what I wanted to see.
Right.
Batman got to kick some butt for a change. Instead of close-up zoomy.
Paul, one?
I would say Dark Knight. The first Dark Knight movie is probably better than this. As far as top...
So that's still your number one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, it's got your favorite villain of all time, too. And it was played by an amazing guy.
It was, so... But not only for that reason. I just think it was just overall a little more solid movie than this one was.
Definitely.
I can't say anything. Everybody riffs what my favorite superhero movie is anyway.
My Power favorite Rangers. Superhero movie ever is probably Watchmen. But
okay.
Batman Begins is a close second.
Gotcha. See, I was, and this is sad, and you may not have heard this. I'm a big Daredevil fan.
Oh, okay.
As much as people rip Ben Affleck, I thought he was a great Daredevil. I liked that he was bloody. But I liked how he portrayed him. He was spitting out teeth, beat up. He didn't go back home at night like, "Hey, I'm going to go partying tonight." You know, like he went home, took a shower, popping at painkillers, spitting out teeth. You know, like all beat up, and I'm like, and that's where I like about Christian Bale. You know, he's all beat up. You know, they show that he's human. You know, Tobey Maguire and Spider-Man, I never feel half the time that they're human anymore.
In that first one, you kind of do.
A little bit, but it's still...
He's all torn
These guys
up.
Are getting thrown through walls. Right. And, I mean, Batman, when he goes back, you know, he's getting stitched up. He's resting. Yeah. I need to take a shower.
Well, that's the nature of these new Batman movies. They're just more realistic.
But Daredevil was before all these, and they had it in that.
Yeah, I like that.
So I don't think Daredevil has half the respect that it should have gotten.
I agree. I love that movie.
I mean, just as a movie, I mean, when you watch it, it's like... I mean, Bullseye and him, I mean, very real.
Let me ask a question to you guys, because, you know, we're all comic fans here. You brought up something. I rewatched that Tobey Maguire Spider-Man trilogy.
I watched them all three last week.
In that first one, he gets a beating pretty good. He's all ripped up. He's bloody. He's bruised. He's torn up.
Are you talking
up.
About the fight at the end with Green Goblin?
Right.
Yeah.
He gets torn up. Now, let me ask you about the new movie that got me. He is constantly falling or hitting things, but it doesn't hurt him physically. Since when did Spider-Man, just because he's got spider powers, become invincible to scrapes and bruises and tears? And how come, you know, he seems to be able to, you know, fall off a building or you know, run out of webbing fluid and slam into a building full force that would kill any normal human being, but it doesn't even crack a rib?
Well, they kind of play that Spider-Man, even in the comics, is like 10 to 20 times stronger than a natural human guy.
Okay, I get the stronger part, but does that make... He's supposed something to be more durable. About his,
I guess that's...
Well, it's like a spider. A spider can jump, you know, from the ceiling here, land on the ground, and still live. I think they're trying to play into that.
You can also get crushed if you threw it into a wall.
See, I think the problem with Spider-Man is he needs a villain that's just a big foot.
It's a wonder they never came up with the foot. Give him a chance.
Or, you know, rolled up newspaper.
The sneaker.
Just cross over with Ninja Turtles, have the Foot Clan against Spider-Man.
There you go. It's all good.
Well, I'm thinking that what you need is a gigantic robot that walks around with rolled up newspaper.
The Iron Giant comes walking in and slaps it.
Whop! Spider-Man's gone.
Yeah, be pretty close, that's for sure. Because now, I kind of felt like in that last movie that, golly, he could almost take on Superman the way they're kind of portraying him in this movie.
Yeah, they did.
The lizard was beating the living hell out of him with that tail, and it didn't even faze him, really.
I got to say, there was one scene in this movie, and this might be a little spoiler, but not bad. It's just, it's not bad. It's not, there was a scene where Bane swung at a wall, and he broke the concrete wall.
I was like, really?
And I was, and to me, I caught that, and I was
that
like,
that happens though.
He was fighting like that with Batman?
Because he didn't actually break the concrete. He broke the covering, the plaster covering.
Is that
and
what
I've
it was? I thought it was a concrete wall, and I'm thinking,
the concrete was behind it with all the, you saw the actual rebar and the concrete behind it. That was just plaster, and I've hit those and broke them.
Okay. I thought he was breaking a concrete wall, and I was like, that's a bit much.
I was pretty sure we were supposed to think, though, that he has this immense power.
He does. Wait,
he does.
He does, but I think...
But, you know, really, he didn't show that. He just showed that he was a really good fighter.
Strategist, yeah.
He was strong.
Everybody
he was a big brute.
Movie, really.
Right. I think, though, that's the one thing.
Catwoman was awesome.
Oh, she was great.
Oh.
I loved it. Everyone was griping about her boots. I loved how they made everyone shut up about that, because the boots... had razor,
those razors
on it, and they incorporated that as part of her suit.
Even
they just wanted to look hot, and they figured out a reason to do it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, that's okay.
Amen. I'm not complaining.
Razor teeth on the boot, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Can you imagine getting one of those across the eye?
That would be awesome.
It's like, I don't see anything!
Do you know what?
Chicken butt.
You're talking about kicking. Do you know we had a Batman in the movie theater kicking tonight?
You had a Batman in the movie.
I saw Batman in the theater kick a girl in the head.
Yeah.
Well, you know, hey, I can't talk about that. I plead the fifth. But I can talk about this.
You plead the fifth.
I was seeing spots during that first scene because I'd taken so many damn pictures. That was fun.
Oh.
And I was really thankful for them. I mean, they wanted me to come down front, and they really were into it. And, you know, they were really – and the manager came up to me and was like, you're going to be here tomorrow night, right? And I was like, well, I planned on it. He goes, in the suit, right? I go, well, I was kind of half and half. I didn't know. Oh, no, you're going to be in the suit. So I'm hoping that they'll... oh, and Johnny, I got to tell you...
Do you get paid for that? Or do you...
No, I just do it to help out. And,
he does it for fun.
You know, I actually did it to promote. You know, I was trying to talk to people about not only Brute Squad, but Night Watch and the whole station, you know?
Right.
So people come up and start saying, hey, why are you doing that? And I'll tell them, you know, well, you know, we're here to promote a station, a couple of shows, and tell them about the shows. And matter of fact, I got people said they're going to listen tonight. So if you're listening and we saw you at AMC, thank you.
I gave out cards tonight. I was really weird. Everybody was asking.
It
was funny. I'm in line, right? And it's so creepy because these two girls were talking about Night Watch Radio.
Okay.
And they were wondering if you were, you know, the Batman from Night Watch.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And they're like, how do you know Night Watch? I go, I have my own show on the station. And they're like, oh, really?
He produces it. Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah. I go, he's on it too. And then they're like, oh, really? And then I'm like, yeah, you're, you know.
That's cool.
Have a card.
Yep. They're cool people. They're cool people.
But I was really surprised. People were great.
Yeah, they are great. And the thing is, this kind of thing, you can really touch a lot of people and make a lot of friends this way. And that's what we're doing. If you happen to get a poster that has all three, it's like mini posters of the three movies. Mm-hmm. The manager told me they're giving them out tomorrow night when you guys get there. They're giving out one that's a collector's item, the Bane poster. Keep that by all means. But if you don't want the one with the three little mini posters, because we've already got those, I know a certain producer that wants that. So that doesn't have those.
Well, I know a certain producer that wants the Bane walking away from the Batman mask broken.
Yeah.
And I have an extra one of those.
Well, do it. Do it.
I don't know. She's been mean to me lately.
That's because I took all the Batman posters and no one else got any.
Speaking of Batman items, there was a little contest before the movie. And
Paul here.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
Won an item or two, didn't you?
Walked away with a t-shirt and a water bottle.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool.
There was only 5 prizes given out.
Absolutely.
Paul was one of the lucky.
Yeah, lucky guy.
That's true.
I didn't even get to give him hell, and he came right down there, but I was over there trying to help that guy who was lost. He was wandering around. I'm like, did you win something? Yeah. Well, if you get off the crack pipe, you might be able to find your prizes over here with a girl waving the prize bag at you.
Can I complain about AMC for a minute?
Yes.
I do want to say one thing about AMC. I wish to God on these previews, I just would like to see them have an employee stand at the front of the line, because we get there at 3:30.
It's always the KPRS guys.
And it's like, yeah. We're talking 2 hours later, we basically had 6 people in front of us. By the time the movie was letting in, there was 20 people in front of us.
Yeah. KPRS, they were, and did you see what they did? They went inside and they took a whole row and ran tape down it, the row I wanted where it gives you leg room there.
Right.
They took up the whole row, the KPRS people.
Well, see, and I don't understand that, because it was supposed to be no reserve sitting.
They did it themselves. They took tape with them.
No,
and they did it themselves.
Well, they let them, number one, because they let them in.
Right.
Because there's other certain, I'm not going to name names, but there's other certain retail outlets that were allowed to go in there and save their own seats too before you came in.
Well, the one thing about KPRS is there's a big...
Who is KPRS?
That's the hip-hop station, and they've got an attitude about everything, and every time they go to these premieres or they handle it, and I'm going to talk to the companies about it. I'm going to talk to Warner Brothers myself about it and let them know, because when we ran things, when I worked for Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers had an office here, we actually got to the point where we wouldn't include KPRS because there was an attitude about it. It was like, you know, and I heard the guy say it. Look, I'm a DJ. I ain't sitting and standing in line. And he went inside, and he's the one that took the tape and stretched across all the chairs. And he was raising hell.
You know what's funny?
That friend of yours, he was in that guy's face. That friend of yours that works for Allied?
Uh-huh. Ethan.
He was yelling at those guys about it. And he's like, I'm going in because I'm blah, blah, blah. So he went inside, throwing his weight around. Like,
you know what's
natural.
Sad? I mean, and everybody you know that listens, you know, I own Brute Squad, you know, and we were giving out passes this week. And we gave a lot of passes out this weekend. I probably saw how many passes?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd guarantee I saw at least 10, 12 people from, you know, that were there from the store.
Awesome.
So, I mean, basically, I mean, that's like, so I think I gave away a
that
total
even
of
count
like,
us, yeah.
That's right. Even count, I gave away a total of probably 15 passes, which was cool. You know, we got to do that. But it's like, here I am as a promoter, for lack of a better term, for Batman.
Right.
You know, I don't have to worry about winning prizes and all. I get it. You know, my job now is to give it to everybody else. Uh-huh. I mean, go out to our Facebook page, you know, at Brute Squad.
Yeah.
We were giving out, you know, T-shirts, posters, free passes. We were giving out a free pass every hour in the store.
Speaking of T-shirts, Paul, I'm really glad there's an extra one floating around, because I was about ready to take you out. I was like, dude, I got the bat suit on tonight.
Right.
There's no contest. I got steel toe boots. Paul's going to have an accident. I would never do that to you, really.
Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would.
It's just neat.
Maybe I should have let those
but,
guys
But
attack.
I mean, it's one of those things. You know what, though? That's funny.
That's awesome. Go get him.
Go get him.
It would have been good.
He's fake. Go get him.
They'd have tried to hit me and been like, like that guy at Comic-Con when he hit me and it hurt his hand, messed his hand all up.
That's awesome.
Punched me in the back. I was like, go ahead, dude. Kevlar.
Yeah.
Take a hand out.
But get him back, though. You know, I waited in line.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't complaining. It's like, first comes, first serve. There's no saving seats. Okay.
Right.
But see, I was talking with some of those people, too, weren't even KPRS. There's like a group, and they all talk to each other at every screening because they go to the same websites. They all get the free screenings, and they show up. And it was one of those that, like, they have a little group now.
Yeah.
And it was like they were letting everybody come in front of them. I mean, even behind me, they let, like, 4 people in. I mean, it's and I'm sorry. I get it to a point.
Yeah, but you didn't even come stand up front because you went and stood 5 people back.
Yeah, I
because you were trying not to cut.
Amanda was up front, and she's like, "Come up here," and I'm like, "No, these people, you know, that were behind you were here first.
Right.
You know, I could have been
time.
Like, we're out of time.
You're way out of time.
Oh, good Lord, we're out of time.
We're off the air.
You know what? This is good because.
Oh.
Are we off right now?
No. Well, you're still going. We're still recording, but our live section is pretty much done.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to tune in next week. We're going to talk more about in detail about the Batman. We're going to definitely be doing spoilers.
Right.
We're going to be doing Total Recall stuff in the store soon. So we're going to have another Total Recall day.
Very cool.
And, you know, everyone, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for Jackalope.
See you next
week. Yeah. Same brute time.
Thanks for having me.
Brute channel.
Yay!